I'm Del Pilar. I am known as a conservative Latino, formerly elected politician, but like my partner, Big John, we are fantasy sports pioneers. And Big John, how have you been doing?
I've been doing great. I love podcasting. I love being on shows. I love talking and showing off my knowledge and my stupidity all rolled into one. So I can't wait to get going tonight.
Oh, and guys, just a little plug. John has been doing it, and I've been watching him because I have a lot to learn. And I was listening to your latest interview with what was his name, Mark?
Eric. E-Rock.
Eric. Former Oakland Athlete. So, guys, if you haven't had a chance, check out the Big Questions with Big John. That's his solo podcast. And John's a natural at interviewing, so check that out. But we're blessed to have our own interview right now. And the last time we were together, Big John, was with Big Dennis Velasco. And, Dennis, it's always great to have you on. How have you been doing?
Awesome. I moved from Charleston to the Mid-South. It's a little uncomfortable.
It sounds like the beginning of a Johnny Cash tune.
Let's get to that.
Johnny Cash with a Filipino style.
There you go.
How's that? Yeah. All right. So for everybody who does not know Dennis Velasco is the former editor-in-chief of Nerd Fantasy Sports. That's one of Big John's data creations. He's contributed to fantasy basketball content to Sports Illustrated and The Score, and regular NBA content to Yahoo, Slam, SB Nation's Nets Daily, ESPN's Old True Hoop Network, and many other destinations on the internet. He's also the founder of Hardwood and Hollywood, which was a Fox Sports partner and currently a Complex BuzzFeed publishing partner. Dennis, welcome, and thank you for coming back. Look, let's get straight to it. We don't want to waste too much time on the old series, but what went wrong for the Heat?
They were just inconsistent. They didn't have some players show up like Bam Adebayo. I mean, he showed up like maybe one or two games like that had a significant impact. You know, Jimmy Butler was hurt. Tyler Hero was hurt. It was too inconsistent and choppy from the Heat. You know, for it to have gone, you know, seven games, you needed some hero ball, not Tyler Hero, no pun intended. We need some hero ball from Jimmy Butler, and, you know, he can only do so much.
Right. But what about moves off season? They're out of the playoffs. I mean, it's a great accomplishment, not only their track record for the past dozen years, but to be in the finals, to be in the conference finals, and they didn't get to the finals. So do they need to do anything? I know Big John has thoughts on that, so if you can chime in too. But Big John, your question first in terms of what you think he may or may not need. And Dennis, how do you respond?
Well, I just watching Game 7, it was very obvious to me. Like, without Hero there, they had no other shooter on the court. Now, Jimmy Butler, I like. Obviously, he's better driving than he is posting up or playing outside the arc for the three-pointer. But I think they need some ice-blooded, stone-cold shooter, man. Someone who wants the ball, wants to drain the three. I have no problem with that shot he took at the end to try to win it, but I think they just, you know, for lack of a better term, they need like a smooth guy on the outside. That's my opinion. If like walking away from this, I don't know, Dennis, like, what did you think? I think that once the Celtics decided we're taking away the lane, we're clogging up the middle, they were out of options for the most part.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the questions that a lot of people have been asking is, where's Duncan Robinson? Why wasn't he on the court? Cause he's a known 3-point shooter. That's like the main thing he does, and they had just given him an extension as well. So you would think that they're paying him to be in this moment, but for some reason he wasn't there. As far as the off season goes, you know, it's not going to be easy for them to get that type of player that, you know, you're saying that they need. They just don't have the assets. They don't have the room to do it. It's just Bam, step up. Tyler Hero, stay healthy. You know what I mean? There's not too much you can do. And you know, a lot of basketball and sports in general is, are you lucky enough not to get injured? You know?
Right. Attrition is what we call that. Mm-hmm. You know, especially with the NFL, it's a game of attrition. And basketball and baseball, I would assume, are as well. And, you know, as I get older, I gain greater respect for these younger athletes. If somebody will look at a baseball game, for example, oh, that's no big deal. Yeah, do that 140 times a year. You know, right. And you'll see why they want those little green pills back in the day called speed. You know, so Dennis, solid physical win, second game seven series for the Celtics. They're in the finals. They have a great tradition, but they've also had a good dozen years as well in competing, and they finally get to the finals there. But what about the upstart Mavericks? Just real briefly. Did they belong in the finals, and what do they need to do to improve? I would assume they need to build around Luka Doncic.
Well, I mean, they earned being in the Western Conference Finals, you know. Although the Phoenix Suns, if you look at this, you know, season, regular season, you know, when you add that in, the Suns were a better team. Yeah. It's just during that series, Luka just went into God mode, you know. Luka Doncic can't carry this team to an NBA Finals, I don't believe, unless they have another superstar or at least another star. You know, props to Jalen Brunson, you know, and Spencer Dinwiddie. And, you know, I even like Dwight Powell, but, you know, they're not superstars. There are rumors that they're going to go after, like, a Rudy Gobert or Zach LaVine. Like, if they can get, like, a Zach LaVine, I think, you know, there's a good chance they can at least go as far as they did this year, you know, make it to the Western Conference Finals. And then, you know, see what happens, because sometimes it's just, like, luck, you know.
So you think they can make it back to the finals next year?
If they get someone like Zach LaVine, yes. Because you would have Big that job. Other playmaker.
Gotcha. Any thoughts on that?
Honestly, I think the Mavericks are more than a player away. I like Doncic. I don't know that he was necessarily in shape. I don't know that he has the mentality. I think one of the things that he fails to get other people involved, like, the way he should, you know. I'm not as optimistic that they can make it next season as perhaps Dennis is. I think they're a good team. They're a solid team. And when you have a player as good as Doncic, sure, there's always that shot. He could get hot and put a team on his back, I guess.
It sounds corny, but what I'm hearing from you, John, is great player, greatness we're still looking for from him. You know, and being able to lift the players around him, the help just by him on the court, that, you know, like Michael Jordan on the court would elevate the play of players around him.
I thought
it was harder.
No, I was just thinking that. Like, the Jordan example is perfect because when he had to slide over to point guard for a couple of games, his assists went up, his points went down, his teammates were better scorers because he understood, as a point guard, I got to get everybody involved.
Honestly, to be fair to Doncic, though,
yeah,
Jordan had Pippen.
He had better talent, no doubt.
It's not even that. He had another playmaker. You know what I mean?
Fair enough.
Whereas Doncic, he's really the only playmaker because Spencer Dinwiddie, despite being a point guard, and Jalen Brunson, despite being a point guard, they're going to look to score, you know. And as far as Luka not being able to get his teammates into it, I don't think that's really true because he averaged almost 9 assists a game. And while it's, yeah, it's just numbers, he is their offense, and his teammates know that.
No, man, I get it, and I also get he's young. I just think they're more than a player away. That's it. Are they better than the Suns?
I just said that, like, as a whole, if you take a regular season into account,
are they better than the Suns?
Hold on. Let me get the gloves, people. No, I'm kidding.
I kind of
agree a bit with Big John, but I agree with you, Dennis, in this sense. He's only 24.
Yes.
Sometimes, if you don't come from a Tar Heels or Duke or these big programs, sometimes it takes a little bit longer to realize how good you are and what's expected of you. And the way they talked about Luka, he seems to be in that transition mode where, okay, greatness is your next step. Do you want it or not? But I also think just people forget Michael Jordan, as Dennis keeps saying, had a team around him. And that's where I agree with John that he needs a couple players. But I think Luka could be the real deal. We'll see. All right. Let's close it out. As John brought up off screen, those games were that series was about a week ago, but that's not our fault. That's just the fact Golden State was that good. Yeah. You know? So let's go to the actual series here. The Golden State Warriors are taking on the Boston Celtics. I'm not a big basketball guru like you two, but when I look at this game, I see finesse versus physicality. Now, in reading some of the experts and some of the more well-known sports bettors, everybody says, well, this could be a seven-game series, but yet 9 out of 10 of them all go with Golden State, with a few of them saying, I wouldn't be shocked if it's 5 to 6. The reason I find that a little bit questioning is Steve Kerr has failed against one team in his career as the head coach, the Boston Celtics. He's got a losing record against them one-on-one. The last time I think he beat him was in 2014 or 15, and that was a sub-500 Celtics team. So, Big Dennis, what's your off-the-wall take on bettors and experts talking about how close it is, but when it comes down to picking it, everybody's going with Golden State?
Well, I'll say this about Steve Kerr and his losing record to the Celtics. It doesn't matter, as The Rock would say. Because, you have different teams. You had different coaches even back then. I mean, like, he was coaching against Doc Rivers, who was a good coach. You know what I mean? So, it doesn't matter. But as far as, people saying he's going to go 7, but then they're picking the Warriors in 5 or 6, yeah, it could go 7, but it depends on which Boston Celtics team shows up and how consistent can they be. Are they going to be like, oh yeah, Jason Tatum shooting like 4 for 16 or whatever it was? Or is it going to be Jason Tatum who's like lights out, you know what I mean? You know, with the Celtics, you're not sure which Celtics team you're going to get.
I get that. But at the end of the day, that same Celtics team has handed it to the Golden State Warriors in the regular season the past few years. So there's, maybe that's what they're thinking of. But we know the Celtics are defense. They're able to switch up the defense quite a bit too. That's how good they are. Do they have enough of a defense in terms of switching it up, matching up with them as the game goes along, much less a series, to slow the Warriors down?
I think if you ask me this question next year, I would say yes, because the head coach, Ime Udoka, he was known for their defense. In fact, because of that, the Brooklyn Nets hired him as an assistant coach last year because they knew that they had a big deficiency there. So it's a new defense with the Celtics this season. They're still learning it despite doing it for, 100-some games now, whatever. But next year, yes, they'll know everything. Now, no, and especially when you're going against a team as disciplined but still free-flowing as the Golden State Warriors.
Well, let me bring the next factor in then. And, John, you can chime in on this too, please. So you just said they're so disciplined, they're this or that, and off-camera we were talking about how the Celtics at times can fall apart. But in fairness to the Celtics, when Golden State has lost, they've averaged 16.3 turnovers in the playoffs. I mean, that's a big number there. So they're not necessarily – my point being is we're talking about how the Celtics are up and down. Well, even though they haven't lost a lot, they did lose to the young Grizzlies team. They weren't able to put Golden State away in the sweep, which we all thought they would have by that point. So is that a bit of an X factor that you think they can exploit, and do they have the players to exploit that?
As far as the Golden State Warriors turnovers?
Yeah, 16.3 per game that they've lost in the playoffs.
Well, I mean, they have, young players that are getting a lot of time, like Jonathan Kuminga. Jordan Poole is still a young kid. Right. So I'm sure that played into that number. But it's the playoffs now. It's the NBA Finals. You have to step up and – I think Steve Kerr's rotation might get a little bit shorter. The leash might be a little bit shorter for like a Kuminga. So I don't know. It could be an X factor because when you think about X factors, you're trying to think something like that isn't obvious. Something that's below the surface but could rise. And I think that's a good X factor to think about. I just don't know how significant it will be personally. Just because the Golden State Warriors are the Golden State Warriors. I mean, you don't make it into the NBA Finals six of the last 8 years by right, not right. being good, you know.
Big John, are there any prop bets somebody could take with that bit of information or any kind of betting that, well, that would help him in?
Yeah, you could bet on anything. But so I think that – so, for example, I'll tell you what I put down. I put down Golden State in six because I was getting plus 500 on it. So I thought that was a smart bet. I don't think it goes seven. I'll wait and see that if the Celtics pull up even, say, two games – 2-2 or something like that. But I might go put a hedge bet on them in seven, but that's something entirely different.
But, John, for the audience, what's a plus 500?
Plus 500 means for every $100 you put down, you win 500. So it's basically a 5-to-1 odds.
That's pretty good.
And, yeah, and that's if it goes exactly six games in Golden State's favor. But, like, I was just checking the odds, guys, right now. Golden State at one of the sites that I use is listed as a minus 165. So they've actually increased their odds of winning in the last couple of days. And the Celtics are only at plus 135. So there's still some money coming in on the Celtics, which is why the odds are still relatively low for somebody that's that much of an underdog. And when you look at when will the series finish, which is like, regardless of which team wins, it's how many games do you expect the finals to go. The odds-on favorite is seven games.
Right. Yeah, and that's what the experts and the analysts keep saying, you know. So, Dennis, again, we're talking about the Celtics' defense, how good they are. How underrated is Golden State's defense in perception? Because the talk is all Celtics' D, but weren't the Warriors one of the top defenses in the regular season? Now, but adding to that, the Celtics swept the Nets, which stunned us all. I was personally rooting for the Nets just because of everything they've gone through. But then they had 2-7-game series. And their physical team – you add three games that Golden State has extra rest. The fact that they have their own solid defense, they've got at least five shooters on that team. You know, is just the wear and tear going to be too much for the Celtics to take advantage of their defense against the Warriors? I guess what I'm asking is, they're strong on defense, but they're kind of facing a brick wall here. Do they have enough, or are they too gassed to overtake the Warriors?
Well, let me say, first about the Nets. In that series, the Celtics, I think they won on average by 4 points. So any one of those games could have gone the other way. And it what showed is the Celtics can't close out like a true champion should. They had the Nets on the ropes by 20-plus points, but the Nets would make a comeback. You saw with the Heat. The Heat, yeah, they were down, but against the ropes, but the Celtics couldn't lay that haymaker on there, you know?
And even with the Bucks,
is that part of the reason what you're – I'm sorry, John, go ahead.
I was going to say, even with the Bucks, Middleton was out.
Yeah, Middleton was out.
It should not have gone seven games with the Bucks either.
It shouldn't have. He's arguably the second-best offensive player. So.
But
that a product of inexperience, Dennis?
Yeah, no, it totally is. And, you know, and that's going to be a major reason why the Warriors should win. And, you know, you're talking about the regular season number one defense. It should come as no surprise. Even, you know, when they first made it to the NBA Finals 8 years ago and each subsequent time, they were known for the offense and shooting, but they also had the number one defense. So
exactly.
It's not a surprise.
Like Michael Jordan.
Right. Like what Michael Jordan, like, you know, you think offense, but he was Defensive Player of the Year. He made 10-plus All-NBA first team, you know, defensive teams. You know, same thing with Kobe Bryant, all offense, but he was also All-NBA.
But is it a different type of defense, Dennis? I think that's, like, a key, right? Like, is it the same
type? What do you mean, Big John?
Like, I think the Celtics' defense is more physically wearing on the team, and they play more of a physical type of defense, like old school Eastern.
Oh, right. Dennis was referring to the fact that GSW is underrated defensively, like Jordan.
Agreed, and I think that's why, for example, it slips my mind that they had the best defense, right? Because you just don't think of them as being grinders and bangers, right? But they're effective. They execute properly. So is that a perception that it's like, well, the Celtics are clearly, you know, they're rough and tumble when it comes to defense, as opposed to Golden State, which may be effective, but they're not necessarily going to wear you out. They're not going to grind you down.
Right. But then again, finesse defense or a physical defense will wear you down quickly, but it's also dangerous to the team itself, as we've seen with the Heat and the Nets coming back from the deficits. Then you have that finesse defense, and finesse may be the wrong word, because that's about really in the grappling sport at times. But let's say the Michael Jordan defense. Regardless of the physical or finesse, a good defense makes you work. And that eats energy up out of the body. And as the game goes on, personally speaking, I've experienced that in the military. When you're just completely gassed and you're given tasks that test your test your mental strength and capacity. And when you're young, you can keep that defensive focus for 5-10 minutes, but the intensity is so up there that it's easy to come down because you're just so exhausted. And I think that's what we're seeing at times with the Celtics because they're so young. They can play that intensity, but then they're the youth. It's kind of like a dog. Here, boy, you just distract him, and then they just lose focus, and that's how these other teams. And that kind of covered the experience factor because that was one of my questions. So it seems that we're all kind of in agreement. A strong offense would go to State combined with a strong defense that the average person doesn't realize that they have and are with the fact that the Celtics have been taxed and they kind of lose focus, that we kind of all agree this is the Celtics series to lose. But all that said, let's talk about some Achilles heel. So, for example, I think we may have already mentioned it. If Steve Kerr's only losing record is against the Celtics, 7-9, 5-1-1 season splits, 2-0-2 sweeps. Does that not count for nothing in helping the Celtics out? And let's not forget, he's only won once against them with a 2-0 sweep in his first season at Golden State, and Boston was a sub-500 team at that point. So Dennis, doesn't that kind of like – are we overlooking the Celtics? I mean, it's regular season, and regular season doesn't matter. It's the playoffs now. But there's some consistency with the Celtics dominating the Golden State there.
All right, well, first of all, let me say this about the Golden State Warriors defense, hitting back on what we're talking about. One of the best things they do is they communicate. So they play very efficiently. They don't have to be as physically taxing, play as physically taxing as the Celtics. As far as Steve Kerr and that record, to me, it's a small sample size still. Yes, it's over several years, but they only play them twice a year. And in the past, Draymond Green has been hurt. Steph Curry has been hurt. Klay Thompson hasn't really played for, you know, besides this season, he didn't play for the last two seasons prior to that. I mean, it really doesn't matter because a lot of times it's just the personnel. Like, who was available in those games? You know, was Steve
Kerr? Great points.
You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't really matter. Like, what matters is what happens now. You know, it's like, what have you done?
Great points. What Dennis is saying, John, at least to me, is that he's taking each series in context. Who was her? Who was there? Where was the series at? Sure. Et cetera. And we tend to forget that. And I think that's why bettors lose a lot of money. They'll look at that data, and what they don't realize is that's part of the equation and a small part of it. But Big John, what are your thoughts on what I gave out in terms of the numbers and then what Dennis said? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm with Dennis. I think those numbers you mentioned are irrelevant, quite honestly. I mean, it's not a psychological thing you might throw out there. It's not, like he said, you know, if you're playing without those stars at one point or another, it's completely different. And the Celtics teams were different probably at that point too as well. So I think it's very, very, very limited value. And I think like the sharps, you know, the experienced bettors know that already. That's already been worked into their reasoning.
So you're saying to the bettors, it's a nice little tidbit, but don't put a lot of stock into it.
Yeah, I would not put a lot into it, no.
So, Dennis, and you know, but when I hear the name Gary Payton, I don't think the second. I think of the real deal. You know, I love watching him play. It was so unpredictable. But Gary Payton the second is expected back. He hasn't played in a little while. Can he make an impact this series?
Look, anytime a defensive player hits the floor, they can make an impact as opposed to an offensive player. And the reason why is, as a defensive player, it's just like you choose to play defense. Yeah. It's kind of that simple. Whereas if you're an offensive player, you have to look at what the defense is giving you. Is your teammate open? Is your teammate not open? Is he driving the lane? Is he not driving the lane? There's so many factors when it comes to offense. It's not as easy to flow right back into it as opposed to defense. So he can make an impact. Will he make an impact? Now, that's a different question because he hasn't played. But, you know, we'll see. I wouldn't bet against him, though.
John and Dennis, I kind of look at it exactly as you said, Dennis, with the added caveat, the most important X factor is sometimes it's not within the player's control. It's in their head, and they're just not on. Defensively, you don't have to worry about that because it's such discipline and focus and how you play. You're not counting on Lady Luck when you take that shot. And it just seems so many times we'll see in the beginning of a big game and the star player, and he's just throwing brick after brick after brick. And as fans rooting for him, we're just it's all we can do is hope he gets out of the slump because there's nothing he can do except for Lady Luck to intervene. Agree or disagree, John?
No, I agree. If you're a good defensive player is always on this game, regardless. You know, like unless they're injured, a good defensive player. When's the last time anyone ever heard, oh, this guy was off his steals game today, or he didn't rotate properly today? Like, you never hear that, right? You hear about someone putting up bricks or not being sharp on the passes or not seeing the court, you know, whatever. When's the last time you heard, like, a defensive player wasn't, you know, like, the only time you hear about defensive players not performing is when they're hurt. Like, right. That's it, you know. Right. So I agree with Dennis 100%. Like, if he's going to make a factor, it's going to be on defense, and it'll all depend if he's healthy or not. If he gets some minutes and he's healthy, he'll make some sort of impact. I don't know how big it's going to be, but it certainly doesn't hurt having him on the bench.
Look at that. All three of us are literally on the same page. There's a few little minute differences. So, Dennis, off camera, we talked about the scoring overall and in general. But the truth of the matter is, we know Boston has two great, well, I don't want to say great, based on how I've watched them play and being a novice, but to me, they have two good scorers there. And Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. But we're talking Golden State here. And against the Bucks and the Heat, they didn't face so many prolific shooters, meaning you can't just shut one or two down and not worry about the rest. So to keep up with them, many are assuming, and I would tend to agree just in a layman's sense, that they're going to need a third person to step up to keep up with the points possibly. First of all, can they do that with just having the two shooters, Tatum and Brown, or do they really need that third person to take it to the next level, and who could that person be?
You know, every single championship team has, like, the two superstars, and you have the role players. So if they have the role players playing their role and they step up, it'll be great for them. You know, it'll make it a series. And, you know, those players, especially this postseason, Grant Williams has proven to be, like, I would even say, like, a very good third option. You know what I mean? And Al Horford, he can go off at any point, you know, despite being, you know, like 526 years old. You know what I mean? So I would bet on either one of those players, but I wouldn't sleep on Peyton Pritchard either. You know, he's a great shooter, you know. Whereas, you know, Tatum is that shooter slash scorer, and Jaylen Brown's more of a scorer. Pritchard is a great shooter. And, you know, once someone tries to lock down on Brown or on Jason Tatum and Pritchard's open, I almost guarantee it's going in, because so far this postseason, it's seemed that way. So I would say number one, Grant Williams would step up. And if not him, then it would be Al Horford. If not him, Peyton Pritchard, without a question.
Okay, so in essence, they have players that can step up. Will they be able to step up this series? Just a quick yes or no there.
I would
say, or I don't know.
I would say yes for Grant Williams. I would say somewhat yes for Peyton Pritchard because he's been consistent. You know, it's not a big, oh, my God, he's scoring 20 points, but he'll give you 12. And, you know, Al Horford, you know, I would say yes because he's older, but is it enough to overcome the Golden State Warriors? You know, that's really the question.
Yeah, it is. Big John, so for the bettors out there, again, people, I'm not a bettor. That's why I defer to Big John and keep my trap shut. But that said, so you can bet on every game as they go along. So if the fans are watching the dynamic duo getting covered well and no third player stepping up, are you, as a bettor, that's when you start to pull away from the potential for an upset and from the Celtics, or do you think that third man can step up anytime?
Well, so when you said that, it's interesting. Not only can you bet on the series, not only can you bet on the number of games, not only can you bet on each individual game, you can bet on halves and you can bet on quarters. So there's very interesting bets. Like, for example, if you talk to most sharp bettors, you always take Golden State to win the third quarter. They outscore their opponents every third quarter. It's almost like the most certain bet for basketball players. Bet Golden State for the third quarter. Now, having said all that, I'm taking Golden State game one. I think the Celtics are going to be tired. They're going to be coming off a high. It's a classic trap game for them. I'm definitely taking Golden State. I think they're let me just quickly look at the latest odds here.
But you're looking at that, Big John. What about the youth? I mean, I agree with you, but another potential X factor, from my understanding, I don't know their specific ages, and Dennis, you can probably help out here. Is there a chance they're just so young, so young and dumb, and as they used to say about sailors, young, dumb, and you know what? But my point being is they're too naive to realize we're supposed to be tired. Do you think there's potential for that energy to come through? Either one of you?
Dennis? I don't know, because I think they understand the grind that's needed because they're going through it. But do they really understand it where they're actually going to take action against it? You know, that's a different question. Like, you can say, oh, yeah, I know it's a grind. Okay, but what are you going to do, like, with that grind? You know, I think they're at that point, and this is going to be where they can actually take action, or they're going to be what most young players and athletes are and think they're God and they can just do whatever, you know?
God, be young again.
Yeah,
John,
I know, right?
We're all old folks. But Dennis, you look much younger than me.
Yeah, exactly.
You look great.
No, I'm half a century year old. But,
yeah.
So, Big John, do you think they may be too naive to realize they're supposed to be tired?
No. I think they will be tired. It's just, it is what it is, whether they accept it or not. I think, look, Golden State is a 4-point favorite in game one. I'm putting money on that because I think Golden State wins the first game easily. I think the series will go six if anybody's interested. I think Golden State takes it in six.
We got a whole segment about that there, brother.
Okay, sorry. But I do think that Golden State is just in a better position. They've had time to rest. They're getting everybody back healthy. Boston, on the other hand, has had – like two very tough series back to back. And I think part of it is they hear what people say. The players aren't oblivious to what we say, what other journalists say. Everyone's saying they took too much time to close out the Bucks. They took too much time to close out the Heat, and they don't have that put their foot on the opponent's throat when they have the chance. So I think they hear all that. It's got to get to them. So, is their psyche? Maybe. I think it is. I don't think their youth sort of prevents them from hearing that stuff, William. Dennis, I don't know what you think. Like, I know they hear stuff, right? It's not like they live in this bubble, so to speak, and I don't think they're immune to hearing the criticism, right? So I think if they're professionals, it doesn't affect their play, but I think they're just beat up, too. I think it is what it is. They're beat up physically.
Honestly. You know? That's where coaching makes a difference in team leadership and helping those young players realize what they're in. And if they are still full of energy, to properly channel that energy. So we don't know. But that said, I don't think they took too long to put away either one of these teams. I just think that's how tough that division is. And them being so young, that's their learning curve, you know? Sometimes you got to go through that game seven. But they have gone through two game sevens. I'm going off topic here. I apologize. But they've gone through two game sevens. They won one of them, away from home. So I would rather have them go through that and those experiences, because they're still so young, entering the Golden State series versus not having that and not realizing how to keep up with a team like Golden State or even put them away at the end. Because I think even they won the series. They didn't necessarily put those teams away, but they're learning how. Each series they get closer to. So well, who knows? But Dennis, so most people who don't follow basketball like myself until the past year, when I would look at Golden State, I just saw this team going up and down, up and down, up and down. Finesse, shooters, three-pointers, a fast-paced team. But ironically, that hasn't been the Golden State Warriors recently. That was early on in Kerr's career as a head coach with them. Doesn't a more controlled tempo versus the run and gun from Kerr's early years, doesn't that kind of help the Celtics stick around in the series longer?
No, I think the Celtics would probably want the Golden State Warriors to try to run.
Oh, really? Really?
Run with them. Yeah, because the Celtics are younger. You know what I'm saying? Other than Al Horford, everybody's really young on that team. So it's like, yeah, run. But, you know, it's in the early part, you know, the Golden State Warriors, they did run. But it wasn't really like a run and gun. It was always like a controlled pace. You know, it's the same thing now. You know, they just run so many types of different sets with so many different counters to each set. It's ridiculous. So you can see them score like 120 points and think they're going run and gun. No, they're just hitting a lot of open threes. You know, they're hitting a lot of people cutting down the middle because with their offense, you know, primarily shooting on the perimeter, it leaves the middle open so many times. So when someone like a Jonathan Kuminga cuts the lane, he can get it and dunk the ball. Andre Iguodala, when he was healthy, despite being old, he cuts the lane. He can dunk the ball because it's so open. You know what I mean? Because you'll have someone like Draymond Green playing the center for the Warriors. So what happens? You bring out Robert Williams because you have to play Draymond Green out there. Not because he's going to hit the three every single time. It's because Draymond Green will be able to, like, pass the ball so easily. He's, like, one of the best passing big men. He just does so many things. So, you know, if the Warriors play that type of game, that offense where they're in control, they're controlling the pace, they're controlling everything, that's not going to be good for the Celtics. That's why it's like, yeah, run. Because you want have young guys like Robert Williams, you know, even Al Horford. All those guys will run back to play defense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it'll just be better and easier for someone, especially like Jaylen Brown.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I hadn't looked at it from that. I looked at it from the perspective of slowing the game down because these Celtics have gone through 2 7-game series, may benefit them long term. But you're right. They're younger. And those guys, in fact, they do talk about Golden State. This is their window. So it's really closing, not because they're going to lose talent, but just because they're all getting older, or some of the key players are getting older. Big John, thoughts?
Run and gun
versus control tempo, who it favors?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think there's a distinction between movement and run and gun necessarily. So to Dennis's point, Golden State is very fluid. Like, they're constant motion, but it's not the, like, grab a rebound or grab the bucket, take it inbounds, and then just zoom down. No, it's they've got a plan, and that plan is that everybody moves. They all have their assignments. So it seems like to Dennis's point, oh, you see, they put up 120, 125. You're like, oh, they must be Showtime. They've got to be right. Showtime.
But they had a Showtime with a three-pointer.
But they're not, right? What they are is a precision offense that incorporates tons of movement. So it's not four guys set, you wait for a pick and roll like the old Jazz or something. Like, it's not like that. It's not the triangle. It's like this constant, like almost like some weird Asian philosophical thing, right? It's like they're always moving around. Be like water, like Bruce Lee or whatever. Be like water, you know. Like, I think it's more that. So to the extent that I don't think the Warriors get tired of that, and I think that the Celtics have to make decisions in their defense, you know, like who are they going to collapse on? What are they taking away? What's their best shot of winning? So if anything, I would say, Dennis, like if you're the Celtics, defensively, what do you focus on? Do you take away the three? Do you take away the lane?
Well, to add on, John.
Yeah.
Add on, John, to that. Those will be the problems they have to solve. Now, the Celtics are known to be able to switch up defensively, you know, throughout the game. Will they be able to do that? Well, we all kind of agree that it's the Celtics to lose. But do they have the repertoire in being able to switch up enough to counter Golden State?
Well, I would say like a lot of times, and you know, Tom Thibodeau made this very popular. It's this defensive tactic called ice, where you know, in a pick and roll or in a pick and roll set, the defender of the picker will just hang back and play the drive, right, on a pick and roll. But with the Warriors, yeah, if you hang back, they're taking a three.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's sort of like it'll be tough, you know, for the Celtics. It's like you got to figure out what are you going to do, because if you're going to go over a pick, and the Warriors do pick a lot, if you're going to go over the pick, the guy's definitely rolling. And now they have, like, you know, pretty good athletes like a Jonathan Kuminga, you know, and a KG veteran like a Draymond Green, who will find open lane and get an easy dunk.
Right, they can get to the hoop.
You know, Dennis, you bring up a great point that I want to be looking at in the series is, to me, defense wins championships regardless of what league, unless you're facing a team that is both offense and defense, like Golden State. But what I'm going to be looking to see how physical they are, because what people don't realize, again, the mental aspect of the game, when you're getting pounded on physically, it's easy to knock you off your threes game. And if the Celtics can knock the Warriors off the ability to throw and knock down those threes, then I really think it becomes anybody's ball game. Because if I remember correctly, and I'm the novice here, but again, my perception is, as John said, you know, they're going to be throwing threes up. You know, any truth to my thought process there?
No, I mean, like as a layman, yeah, that's what everyone thinks about Golden State, because you know, you have Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, two of the best 3-point shooters ever. But, I mean, you can't sleep on that open space that's still going to be there. Even if they miss, there's still a threat, and the defense has to play up on them. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's going to leave the lane open. And Golden State, they're smart enough to, like, all right, now we're going to drive to the hoop. You know, now we're going to cut to the basket. You know, you watch Steph Curry, he's nonstop movement. Even if the shot's not set up for him, he's cutting into the lane. Like, I would look for this. If Steph Curry brings up the ball, right, and the defense is spread out, Steph Curry is going to pass the ball out to the perimeter and keep going to the basket for the cut. Watch.
I'll look for it.
Yeah. I mean, you can't sleep on the Warriors and thinking they're just going to shoot threes.
Well, I'm not talking about sleeping. I'm just thinking that those 3 points are a big part of their game. But you're saying that there's other weapons in their arsenal if that's not falling, and that's what Celtics can't see.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Dennis. Some matchups here. You don't have to get in too deeply, but tell us who you like in these matchups. Marcus Smart defending Stephen Curry.
Steph.
Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum versus Klay Thompson and Andrew Wiggins.
If you're saying basket for basket, even. If you're talking about defensive-wise, just because Klay Thompson has been an all-defensive player before, I would say Klay Thompson and Andrew Wiggins.
So you're saying they have the slight advantage in that?
They have a slight advantage overall, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Big John, any thoughts? Marcus Smart defending Stephen Curry?
No one cares about you, John. No, I'm kidding.
What Coach D said.
All right. We'll wait till afterwards and I ask you for your thoughts on it.
It's okay. Talk to the expert.
Draymond Green against Al Horford. And I must say, Green pissed off the Heat, but to no avail. They still lost. You know, Damon Green, Big John, I don't know if you said, came out on camera and said, yeah, we expect to be playing the Celtics, you know, before game seven. You know, but a Damon Green against Al Horford, Dennis.
Draymond at this point in their career, at their peaks, I would still say Draymond.
There you go. Kevin Looney versus Robert Williams. I keep thinking Roberta. She's in history. She'll be long known after Robert Williams is gone. But Kevin Looney versus Robert Williams. Who do you like?
Oh, man. I would say that's even for different reasons. But if I was picking a team, I would probably draft Robert Williams.
Okay, you said they're kind of even. Is that their playing style defensively, how they think on the court? They're pretty much similar in that sense?
Well, here's the thing. They're both bruisers, but, you know, Looney has the ring. But Williams has a little better talent, but Looney has the experience on him.
Experience factor, yeah. Steve Kerr, 6 NBA Finals as a coach versus, how do you say his first name?
Ime.
Udoka.
Ime Udoka, yeah.
You know, I can get the last name, Udoka, with the accent, Udoka. Yeah. First Finals as a coach. I mean, obviously, we all kind of know the answer to that one.
Yeah, it's Steve Kerr, no question.
Yeah, I see you picking the white guy. Okay.
No, I'm picking the guy that's won how many chips as a player?
I'm a political guy. I just couldn't resist. I'm sorry. No, I agree. I loathe Steve Kerr as a human being. I really do. But you can't take anything against away from him, not only as a player, but what he's done as a head coach. It was one thing to inherit the team because Mark Jackson built that team originally, but then he took it to the next level. And he's built on that. So you can't take anything away from Kerr. Any thoughts there on those matchups there, Big John?
No, I pretty much aligned with what Dennis said. I was waiting to see whether he would take Looney or Williams, and I liked Williams. I like Robert Williams. I think the Celtics are a much better team with him in the lineup. So I agreed with him on that. That was the only one that was sort of up in the air.
All right. To Big John and Dennis here. I want to hear from Big John first. As I've mentioned before, we're not a DFS podcast. We're not a sports bettors podcast. But obviously, those aspects have – DFS recently. But you could not listen to a show on the radio as a sports fan, and there was always a segment on sports betting. I was always lost because I don't bet. So right now, the Golden State Warriors are -150 to win the NBA championship, while the Boston Celtics are underdogs and sitting at +130 at most outlets. There's a lot of newbies wanting to make bets. What does that mean, Big John? If you can break that down and tell us if you agree or disagree, and then we'll go to Dennis for his thoughts.
Sure. So I'll update you, William, very quickly. The odds shifted a little bit. So Golden State are now at -165.
Oh, wow.
And the Celtics are at +135. So slight movement. And the reason you saw that movement was that Vegas saw more money coming in on the Warriors. So they had to lower the odds that you get paid back on the Warriors and increase the odds a little bit on the Celtics.
And that's to induce more betting, right?
Well, that means that Vegas – see, people think that Las Vegas makes its money by predicting the outcome. They don't. The way they make money is by getting half the people to bet on one team and the other half to bet on the other, because both sides are paying them what's called a vigorish, which means a small commission to make the bet. So the way they win is if they get a perfect 50-50 split, they couldn't care less who wins the game, right?
Yeah.
So if they see too much money on one team, they'll shift the odds to try to get people to go to the other side to balance it off, right?
Gotcha.
But anyway, so – what is -150, -165? So to make the numbers easier, -150 means you would have to bet $150 to win 100. That means you're betting on the favorite. For the Celtics, that means if you bet 100 and they win the series, you get back 130 or 135, right? So they're giving you the incentive to say, okay, we know the Celtics are likely to lose. We're going to pay you a little bit extra if they win to induce you to bet on the Celtics. Otherwise, if it was even money, everybody would bet on the Warriors, right?
Right.
So that's what those numbers mean. Yeah.
Okay, so do the Celtics in the +135 now from 130 to 135 to take the Sears, is that an attractive bet? Should people jump on that one? I mean, wrong.
No.
You still think stick with the Golden State?
Well, I don't know how Dennis feels, but to me, there's almost no doubt in my mind that Golden State is winning the series. So the more interesting bets to me are if you can predict how many games it'll take, what the final – like you get nicer odds that way. To be honest with you, I wouldn't even consider the Celtics unless they were in the +250 range. Because at that point, you have a risk-reward balance. Because, look, the one thing I will say about the Celtics, I'm pretty sure Dennis will agree, they've had the luck of the Irish this year, that old Red Auerbach thing, right? They went up against Milwaukee, who was probably the best team in the East, and Middleton is out. Their second best offensive player is out. Then they go up against the Heat, and their best shooter, the sixth man of the year, is out for the entire series, basically, right? And Butler missed the game. So they've had that luck of the Irish where the other team has not been at 100%, even with the Nets to some extent, with Simmons being out and everything. So they've had this nice run, the luck of the Irish, the old Red Auerbach thing. If that holds up against Golden State, that's where you may see a lot of money switching. Like if all of a sudden Curry comes up lame or Thompson comes up lame or Draymond has to sit out a game or two. If anything like that happens, which, look, you can't predict that sort of thing, but given the Celtics thus far, if you believe in mojo, maybe they've got a little bit of the luck of the Irish left in them for the finals. So
it's the ultimate test, isn't it, John? The reason I say the ultimate test is they got all the luck of the Irish, but now they're facing a team that's the exact opposite. They're gelling, and their players are becoming healthy for the biggest series in their careers. You know, Dennis, any thoughts on the gambling portion there?
No, I totally agree with everything that Job said. I think the more interesting bets are probably going to be like prop bets now. Just make it fun. You know, it's like, who's going to score first, Celtics or, you know, the Warriors? Is it going to be Curry or is it going to be Thompson? You know, like that sort of thing. That's more interesting as opposed to, plus 135.
It's more fun to talk about those types.
You know, and like John said, it's not attractive enough to bet on the Celtics. You know, that risk reward.
Well, okay, well, we're out of here real quick then, Dennis. Give me a prop bet you would like to see, or you would do. Anything come to mind?
Well, if I want to make some easy money, I'd probably say the first three-pointer would be hit by Steph Curry.
Big John, what do you say?
I'll tell you one I put on. It's not – it probably won't come in, but it's one of those bets you make because the value is there, right? I've got the MVP of the series being Thompson, Klay Thompson. He's coming off at plus 1,500, so that means 15-1. The favorite is Seth Curry. He's at like minus 110, I think, or plus 110. Yeah. So it's almost even money. Tatum is up there with like plus 2. He's the second most likely. Thompson, I like at, I don't know, Dennis, what do you think? Is there a shot
like
Thompson
that
pulls it off at plus 1,500?
Yeah.
That means, how much does that cost you, John, to make that bet?
Well, you can put down as much money as you want, but like, let's put it this way. $100 bet means you get $1,500 back.
Okay, I'm sorry. That's what I meant. It's how much you – okay.
Yeah, it's 15-1. It's 15-1.
That's the phenomenal odds. See, that's why – honestly, that's why I don't gamble. Right. I look at those odds, I'm like, oh, my God. You know, next thing you know, my wife's like, did you pay the bill? Whatever.
Oh, look, here's another one for you. Draymond Green, the last I checked, was at plus 3,300.
Wow.
So if you think Draymond Green's going to go off, not the time to – but I see, I think it more likely is going to – first of all, it's always from the winning team. So you got to pick the Golden State Warrior.
So okay. While we're there then, let's go ahead and pick him. So, Big John, who wins and in how many games?
Warriors in six.
And I say Warriors in six also with Steph Curry taking the MVP.
Okay.
Only because, and I'll say this, the three titles that the Dubs have – Seth Curry was not the Finals MVP.
That's right.
It was Andre Iguodala. Now that would have been a good prop bet. He was probably
You would have cleaned up on him. Yeah, you would have cleaned up on him.
Yeah. So it was Andre Iguodala, and then you know you had Kevin Durant, the last two. So I think Steph Curry, just to sort of not does he really have to do this, but to cement his legacy, you know, he's never won an NBA Finals MVP. He's won the MVP twice, you know, during the regular season, but not a Finals MVP. If he can do that, that would be like, you know what, we might have to consider Steph Curry the best point guard
of
all time now.
You see, that kind of bugs me. Not you, but I mean, it's like, because sometimes there may be somebody more deserving, but then they think of the legacy, they think of this, and like, well, he's earned it, it's his time, it's his due. And I hope that doesn't happen. I hope if he does win it's legit. You know, honestly, I want to make two predictions. I'm with you guys. I think Golden State, as it is, takes it in six or seven. But I want to say this caveat. if the Celtics do get as physical as I think they can and can disrupt some of those pick and rolls and some of those three-point shots, then I legitimately believe the Celtics can pull off an upset, as unlikely as it sounds. And I, because that's what I said in some of the previous years for the Celtics, because I'm a big believer in defense. I made money on the Ravens, and I predicted Tom Patriots' win against the St. Louis Rams. In fact, a Chicago station had me come back on that following Monday as I was all hungover to just ask, what made you pick them? And it's because I believe in defense. So I'm with you guys, but I just want to give a little love to the Celtics, you know. Okay, great segment there. Great information for the bettors, prop bettors, for newbies like me. Let's have a little fun before we close the show out. Favorite basketball movies. Now, I've seen a lot of basketball movies, but when I mentioned this to you guys, I was drawing a blank, and then you guys threw 10 zillion movies out here. I just want to ask you guys, did either one of you see both Space Jams?
Yeah, of course.
All right.
I just saw the first one.
Gotcha. Okay, so this is on you, Dennis. Older generation, the argument, LeBron or Jordan? I mean, it's Jordan, clear as day. The guy he just won. LeBron's a winner, but he's also a loser a lot, too. Now, I don't mean to sound as negative as it sounded, but what I'm saying is Jordan epitomizes winning. So to me, there is no Jordan. But that said, Space Jam 1 or Space Jam 2? What do you say, Dennis? Jordan or LeBron?
Yeah, Space Jam, the original. And a lot of people that are younger, that grew up with LeBron, that saw both movies, they would also say Space Jam because the second one was so bad. I almost didn't finish watching it. But I was just like, you know what? I just have to finish it because I'm like 30 minutes in. But a lot of it seems so forced. It's like trying to be funny, trying to be edgy. The plot line was kind of corny. The original was way better. Definitely way better.
You know what? That's what I read from most people. And I think even one of the writers or maybe the director from the first one came out and hammered the second one. You know, politically speaking, I read that it was also a little bit woke, and that kind of turned people off too. But either or, Looney Tunes, Warner Brothers, is it Looney Tunes characters? Yeah, Bugs Bunny, those guys, yeah. They just laid an egg. Instead of doing what would have worked and what should have worked, it looks like I don't want to say try too hard. I just think they ignored common sense for what
I did try too hard. It was so bad. I mean, I don't know what the woke part of it was. It was just a bad movie. It was just really bad.
Dennis, I'm getting ready for you to go, it's a bad movie, not discussing it. You get up and walk away. You know? All righty then. So, Big John, name your favorite. Okay, I don't have one favorite movie. So, what are your favorite basketball movies, or is there one that sticks in your head? And why?
Well, I, as always, I lean towards comedy. So, three movies that come to mind, there's been a lot of good ones, right? But the ones I'll take is, first one I'll take, and I'll give you a little backstory, is the Gabe Kaplan movie, Fast Break.
Yeah, Gabe Kaplan.
Which had Gabe Kaplan and Bernard King in it, and it was a stupid 70s comedy, but the reason I like it is they shot a lot of that movie in the pool hall that I used to hang out in.
Okay.
In Manhattan when I was a kid. So, like, I don't know if I'm in any of the shots, but, like, I was there when they filmed because I was shooting pool with a couple of friends, and they said, okay, you know, you guys can stay because we were there, like, every weekend. They were like, you guys can stay, but you got to be quiet. You got to be in the back. We don't want you jumping around and everything. So for that reason, I'll put Fast Break in there. Semi-Pro with Will Ferrell. I love watching that movie. The funny thing about Will Ferrell movies is when I first see a Will Ferrell movie, I'm going, man, that was horrible. But then every time I watch it, it gets funnier and funnier. And by the seventh or eighth viewing, I think it's one of the greatest comedies around. So, you know, that whole thing with Father Pat and the Tropics and the ABA. And, I love that movie. And then the third one, which wasn't a comedy, but I liked because the tie-in was Basketball Diaries. When you think about Jim Carroll, you know, some people know him as a singer, part of a band, the Jim Carroll Band. People Who Died was one of their major songs. But Jim Carroll, for those that don't know, was very rare. As a child, basically, he started keeping a diary. When he was like 10, 11, 12, he wrote down his thoughts. So by the time he got to the point where he was a promising basketball player, he had also spiraled into drugs and the abuse around him. So, like, to be able to dramatize that and put it on film, I thought that was very compelling. Also, if you read the actual book, it was very compelling. So,
what movie again, John, for the audience?
Basketball Diaries. Leonardo, a young Leonardo DiCaprio was in that. I think it might be one of his first roles. So, yeah, if you get a chance, catch it. You could probably catch it on one of the streaming platforms. But, yeah, those are my three.
And for the audience, 2 points. It shows how fleeting fame is and how quickly forgotten you are. But in the mid-70s, Gabe Kaplan was known throughout America, and it was the show that launched John Travolta. Welcome back, Carter.
Welcome back, Carter.
One of the most popular comedies in America at the time. In America, remember this. We are fractured right now. Back then, you had three networks to watch at night. So Gabe Kaplan was known to the world. And on a side note, one of the world's best poker players. His career kind of fizzled out, which again shows how fleeting fame is. But Gabe Kaplan was a big name. Dennis, first of all, any specific movie, or do you have a genre of movies or a few movies there you'd like to toss out?
Now, I'll throw out four. And like my top three in some order, each movie is different. All right, so the first movie I'll throw out is Love and Basketball, which is a classic modern day, you know, love story through basketball. So well done, so well written, great movie. So that's like a love story, but it also shows a lot of how high school basketball can be in terms of like recruiting,
right,
visibility, you know, and how you can make it to a big program, but no one gives a shit about you. And then another movie I would say is He Got Game.
Mm-hmm.
Great father and son story. You know, Denzel Washington's in it, so you can't go wrong with Denzel. You know, and then you have one of the greatest basketball player names of all time, Jesus Shuttlesworth. You know, Jesus. You know, that's how he's proclaimed. And like some of the actors were real ball players that I played against, so that was cool. And then another movie is Hoosiers.
Oh, Hoosiers almost made my list too, man.
Yeah, Hoosiers, like whenever it's on TV, I watch it every single time.
Yep.
You know, Gene Hackman did a great job in there. You have Jimmy Chitwood, you know, the legend, you know. It's like, oh, yeah, I don't want to play basketball anymore. But then here he comes to save the day. And one of the things I took from that is, oh, my God, this rim looks bigger. No, measure it. It's 10 feet. It's 10 feet everywhere. So when I coach and, you know, players start to come, ah, it's a double rim. Oh, this looks off, whatever. It's 10 feet. It's 10 feet anywhere. You can play anywhere, you know. So I took it from that. So those are my top three. And, like, the fourth movie I want to mention is something very, very underrated that people for some reason always forget about. And that's Glory Road.
Mm.
And, you know, that's the story about, you know, Don Haskins, you know, taking an all-black team against Kentucky and Adolph and Pat Riley. You know, it's a great story. Not because it's the first all-black. No, no. It's just a great underdog movie. You know, that shows you how.
Wasn't it about the first all-black team to make it to the finals?
Yes. To win.
Right, yes.
Texas Western, they won the whole thing.
Yep.
You know, and actually Haskins stayed there for like 30 more years. You know, it was Texas Western or Southwestern, then it became UTEP, you know, University of Texas El Paso. And, you know, that's a really good story. And people forget about that. But when you watch it, it's like, holy cow, this is such a good movie. You know?
Right. I agree. I enjoyed that movie.
Yeah, you know, the first movie I thought it was The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh, and I don't know why. It came out in the late 70s, but that's on my mind. But then when I thought about it, the two movies I thought of were the two that you mentioned. It was Hoosiers and Glory Road. And the reason I thought of that is I'm a 5'7" Latino. I was average at everything. So I was one of those kids who always believed in practice. The 10,000 hour rule, all state in music.
Yeah, yeah.
I won a division in wrestling, you know. So, but it was never because I was a natural. It's like I just had to work harder than the person. So when I see movies like Glory Road and Hoosiers, you know, those are the movies that that I love, because it's not that they inspire me. It's just, it sounds corny, but you just feel good. And you're like, society did something right, or they went against society and overcame. Again, that's one reason I'm so political. I see a lot of BS. People say that, but they're not doing it. So when you actually see somebody dig deep into themselves, pull themselves by the heart, lift themselves up, and actually achieve, it's like John and I in fantasy sports. No one can ever take that away from you. You can die knowing you did at least one thing in life exceptional. So after the fish that saved Pittsburgh and those heroics, I thought of Hoosiers and He Got Game. And you're right. He Got Game is rarely ever brought up. And the only reason I thought about it was when I looked at one of the IMD lists. I'm looking, oh, yeah, I saw that. Oh, yeah. I'm like, oh, yeah, I saw that one. Because that came out, I think, when it was still VCR. You know, we had to go rent the VCR or order the CD from Netflix. And I remember getting it in the mail. It was a phenomenal movie.
I was going to say, gentlemen, however, even though it's not technically not a movie, let's not forget The White Shadow.
Oh yeah.
And you know what made The White Shadow unique and popular? It was one of the first shows to bring diversity in a positive way, meaning you got the white head coach, which is usually how it works, and you had all the black players, and that was like Monday Night Movie. I forget, Reeves was the actor's name, and he's passed away, but you're right.
No, it was Ken Howard.
Ken Howard was
the coach, yeah, and all yeah. the, like, was it Coolidge was the center, Coolidge. But it was also like a little bit of what later, someone has to check me on the timing, but it was also that period of time. It may have kicked off all those movies about the schools in ghetto neighborhoods that were saved by a particular teacher, you know, like with the Michelle Pfeiffer movie, the Hector Elizondo.
That was a little bit later, like Stand and Deliver.
White Shadow came first, right?
Yeah, White Shadow was from 1978 to 1981. Yep. It didn't have a long run, but and the head coach Howard, he was big guy. I mean,
he was a tall guy.
Yeah, great actor too, great character actor. Guys, I think we hit on some great movies. You know, outside of those, I think the Fish That Saved Pittsburgh is probably the greatest movie ever created by man, because for some reason I just remembered it.
That had Jonathan Winters in it, right?
Oh, my God.
No, seriously, some great movies and people should check them out. Dennis, it's wonderful to have you on. Off camera, I threw a little fit. I apologize, but that's because I wanted to get your input with the specific players, the teams, this, and then I wanted to attack John with the sports betting. My goal here is to educate the audience. And gentlemen, y'all did my southernness there. Y'all did a great job. You're gonna be talking like that soon one day, brother.
Yeah, right.
Any last words, Dennis?
It's great to be on here. Yeah, I appreciate it. Everybody go and support Sports Grumblings all on like socials and just check them out and check me out.
Exactly.
I look good, God damn it.
Exactly. All right, Dennis, thank you for coming on. And everybody, dvhoops.com, Dennis knows his stuff. His contact information is on there, too, if you want to bring him on your show. You've been listening to Points on the Board. Visit our podcast, or our vodcast, technically, as they're called, at sportsgrumblings.com, and please share. Great basketball segment. Share it with your friends before they go out and lose their money so they don't lose any money. John, tell the audience good night.
Good night, audience.